Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke wearing that Schwarber jersey. He's got his Cubs hat on. He left the old style in the company fridge. He may need one in a while. I don't know. Hope you're doing all right. You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in on the show with Hail Varsity Radio. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com and follow us on Twitter. Of course, you follow Hail Varsity at Schmidt underscore radio at Danny Burke 5. We are loaded up. Mitch Sherman going to join us. We'll hit some college football. We'll talk Nebraska, Wisconsin with him. We'll talk some of that Ohio State, Penn State with him. Get his take on the Red River rivalry with Oklahoma, Texas this weekend. So Mitch Sherman in 15 minutes. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We'll go around the Big Ten. Rick's going to be part of the call on Saturday night with Kugler and Millen. So we'll get Rick's thoughts on whiskey and Nebraska. Excited about this. A chance to sit down with Nebraska inside linebacker Mo Berry. That's coming up in hour number two. We'll talk some NFL. Mahomes, the Pirate, sounds off on offensive balance. You'll hear about that. He's hilarious. And we'll get Danny's prediction on the Cubs tonight. All that within the next couple hours. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can get in with this here. Let's start off and defense today. And Barrett Rood, this was a great question, and I loved to get into this discussion because it has been something that has kind of torn Nebraska fans, right? And you can be in the gray, you can be black, you can be white, but you have a take on this when it comes to recruiting. Either go get me 5- and 4-star guys, because talent's incredible, talent wins, I agree with that. But you can also have the school of thought where you can see something in a player and project what the talent can be. It just takes a little longer to get there. Air quote, ready-made or developmental. Two ways to go about it. 5-year, 5-star, says Jimmy Walton. Either get me a 5-star or get me a 5-year guy. By year 4, by year 5, he's money. He's as good as that 5-star. He's playing as fast as that 5-star. Obviously, a ceiling on some athleticism. Some guys are just freaks. When you look at a guy like Sue, other guys get built into incredible football players. Look at Jared Tomich. All right. So Wisconsin is throwback. They look at fit. Wisconsin. I mean, let's talk about how the whiskey's made. And you know it's how Nebraska used to make their own. That's been implemented, blueprinted, stamped, delivered. You have Wisconsin's final AP or college football rankings in the single digits the last several years. At minimum, top 15. A bad year, they're still going to the Rose Bowl at 8-6 when they crushed Nebraska in the Big Ten title game. It's probably been the worst Wisconsin team, or we're talking, relatively speaking, worst Wisconsin team. Team that lost a handful of ball games by a touchdown or less. So Wisconsin targets, develops, rinse, repeat. And their final rankings far, 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 far outweigh their February rankings with recruiting classes. They don't get bad people. They don't get bad players. They get some unknowns that everyone goes, man, I wish I was as smart and as good as they are at development. That's where Nebraska's going to go. They're going to go after talent. They're going to get talent. And they're going to get some high-profile talent. Adrian Martinez is a high-profile talent. Yes, you need him. Stanley Morgan's a high-profile talent. When you look at peer guys recruiting him, but what you're going to see less of moving forward, and I know it's tough to take and talk about it 0-4, that, and you're going to have attrition too, but you're going to have these monster high-profile Riley guys either weed out or not play or get developed and be great. I mean, there's turnoffs on this road. And it kind of happened with Callahan's guys, the Sues and Halus and Fonzie's, and I don't think Fonzie was a Callahan guy, forgive me, but Philip Dillard, Sue, Prince, Haig, they were right. They didn't miss on these kids, but Bo came in, and then they got taken to a whole new level defensively. And I think that's what you're going to see with Nebraska moving forward. They'll go get some of the, like, the skill guys they want, the wow factor guys, but they're going to do a really good job of finding some meat and potatoes guys that are going to fit on the lines of scrimmage or maybe a shade under-recruited or a shade under-starred, and they'll get developed. And that's a good thing. That's why Wisconsin's ruled the West. That's why Iowa has won the West. That's how you got to do business in the Midwest. And you'll see firsthand Saturday night just how impressive it is. Ultimately, talent does win out. And there are some instances where the Wisconsins of the world will get Ohio State or will get Penn State or hang with Michigan. But that's more the exception than the rule. Because you have elite coaching, elite development, elite talent, all in one ball of wax. Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State. Wisconsin, Iowa, fringe. They're playing well. They're tough. They won't back down. But when push comes to shove, a guy's going to make a play a lot of times. Barrett Root addressed that today. But really, how the whiskey's made is something we'll focus on. Rick Pizzo going to chime in on that. And we'll also talk about tough love. Huh? Tough love. You thought dad was a real a-hole, didn't you, growing up? When it comes to tough love, mow the yard, brush your teeth, do the chores, don't talk to me about allowance, you live here for free, puke, that type of thing. Tough love, man. What you need to hear versus what you want to hear as a football player. Coach Chenander sounded off on that. Really good stuff from the defense today. Some good thoughts from defensive line, Coach Dawson. Here is Barrett Rood on Wisconsin and how that whiskey's made.
They know exactly what they want to do, and they know exactly the type of guys they need to get to do it. Honestly, it's no different than the NFL guys. You know, Pete Carroll's the world, knows exactly what he wants to do in offense, defense, special teams. He knows the exact guys he needs to get it done. Bill Belichick's the exact same way. Knows exactly what he wants to do, offense, defense, special teams. He knows the exact type of guy. Everything, you know, body type, personality, schematics, how those guys need to fit in. So the better you know yourself, the better you can recruit. And sometimes the stars don't necessarily matter when you know exactly the type of guy you need to get.
That, and you're so confident in what you do that you're going to go get the profile you want, whether they're highly rated or not rated, and you're going to make them good. And that sounds pretty awesome. And it does sound a lot like Belichick. It sounds a lot like that Legion of Boom in Seattle with that defense they put together before it all went goodbye, middle finger and all. And that's what, I mean, Frost is so convicted, has such strong convictions on his offense and what they want to do that you're going to be fine with it. More from Barrett Rood and on that Wisconsin niche.
They're getting really big offensive line. You know, if you look at their depth chart, they're all 6'5 plus, and they're all 300 pounds plus. They're getting very good outside linebackers on defense. I see that. They got a good niche getting, kind of smaller cornerbacks. So, I mean, they're doing a good job with that. They've always been pretty good with the tight ends, too. So, but that's kind of their niche. You know, that's what they've been doing since Barry Alvarez took over. They've always been pretty good in those areas, so.
Barry Alvarez tomorrow on Hail Varsity Radio. Excited to talk to him again. Listen, Wisconsin's about the only team that has survived a coaching change. Think about it. They've been through the pig farmer, the guy who quit, and now it's Paul Chryst. They've been through three coaches. Other programs that have been through three coaches, Nebraska, Arizona State, where am I stopping? Texas, LSU. Well, LSU's been more of a, yeah, not really LSU. Florida. All right? And they're all UCLA. They're all trying to crawl back. Wisconsin just, Barry walks down the hall, turns the film on, says this is what he doesn't even suggest. This is what we need to do. Go do it. We can go get heavy-set kids that have good feet and go run the football. It's still a toughest man competition. That wins in the Big Ten. And that wins to the tune of 9-3 in their sleep. What do you think of Wisconsin this year? Is it vintage Wisconsin? Listen, man, they're not even as close to as good as last year. Now, their offensive line's dynamite, but they're only averaging 32 a game. They're still not as threatening throwing the football. I mean, Cephas getting popped was huge, and they're still good defensively, but they were great defensively last year. They were great, and it was a build because there was a 10-2 Wisconsin team 3 years ago that narrowly lost Penn State, narrowly lost at Michigan. I mean, this is that senior class that's been on the cusp and has brought them to, this is, last year's team was as good or probably a little better than the Russell Wilson team.
Yeah, I think their last year's team was absolutely better. And you said their defense is good. I think it's good, but it's not good enough to keep them in those close games to back up their offense, like you mentioned. They only beat Iowa by, what, 4 points? BYU, they lost by three.
They beat Iowa by 4 points.
Right.
They won by 11, 28-17. But they dirtied
over Iowa?
Yeah, they dirtied the touchdown.
Was it 11?
Yeah.
Either way, they're not like clobbering their opponents.
No, they played a perfect opponents. Game against Iowa, and Iowa had three turnovers that gave them three scores, mm-hmm. honestly, field position-wise.
Right.
So this is, dare I say it, this is a beatable Wisconsin team. The problem is,
Nebraska's not going to be the one to beat them.
No. Well, BYU is the one to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to lose twice in Camp Randall.
No.
The place will burn. But I will give Nebraska this type of credit. Whatever you want to say about Nebraska's team in the last 3 years, you had intimate knowledge by the former staff of Chryst in the overtime game that was there for Nebraska. Nebraska was equal that night. Nebraska was equal the year before when Jano busts one from 50 yards out. And Nebraska's up, but can't finish a drive on the field because they can't run the football. The games, and then things got super hairy a year ago for Wisconsin. Pick six by Aaron Williams. Things are tied. Place is losing it. It's a great scene. Then they run the football on 22 consecutive plays, and they just choke you out, Nebraska style. And then that was the end of the year. You were demoralized. You were embarrassed. You were beaten up. You got your ass kicked in front of your kid, whatever you want to call it. Okay? And season died that night, along with 22 straight run plays where you're just getting pancaked and beat up and you want no more. You're looking for a towel to throw because you're so physically dominated. but you can't find a towel because both your eyes are swelled shut. You're reaching for one. You're reaching everywhere on the ground and can't find it. So that's how the whiskey's made, and they are a unique program in Nebraska's image that there's a lot of respect for. I think the problem Nebraska fans have with Wisconsin, isn't Alvarez, isn't their offense, isn't Crist, isn't their defense. I mean, the problem Nebraska fans have is the Wisconsin fans. And just how belligerent, angry, and adversarial they are. Got a buddy, Wisconsin Ed. He works at the University of Minnesota, but he's a Badger. And he's a good dude. But, man, I think Wisconsin fans run their mouth at a world championship level. And they wear you out. And good luck and God bless anyone going on the road. I mean, there's Boulder, there's Columbia, and then there's the stepdad, the drunk, angry stepdad, Wisconsin, when it comes to angry fan bases. Mitch Sherman's coming up. Great to be with you on a Tuesday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
You know, I don't know if he's traded his Royals hat for his Royals North, but he might be a Brewers fan tonight. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, joins us. Mitch, how are you?
I'm wearing a Royals hat right now, and I actually am not trading it for a Brewers hat. I don't follow the players. I follow the team. Well, I don't know if that's really what it is, but I will not be rooting for the Brewers this postseason. I can tell you that.
You don't like the Cubs either, though, do you?
I dislike the Cubs strongly. I rooted against the Cubs yesterday.
I know you
so
did.
So I was happy to see Lokane and Moustakas do well, but now that they're on to the divisional round, I guess if the Cubs are playing the Brewers in the divisional round, I will continue to root for Milwaukee, but beyond that, nope. I'm neutral.
Mitch, you're killing me, man. You can't root for Chicago North up there.
Chicago North, are you referring to Milwaukee as Chicago North?
Yes, exactly. Every time there's a home game in Milwaukee at Miller Park, it's all Cubs. So when we play them in the divisional round, it'll be just like a home game
and
the whole series.
If you're wondering the part, Danny was a bat boy, apparently. So
yeah, I guess. You know, I heard a lot of Brewers fans at Wrigley yesterday. It seemed that. What game was it? Wrigley, right? Not Miller Park?
Well, that's
Park?
Because all the Cubs fans are working on a Monday.
My ass.
The game.
You guys never work. You Cubs fans never work.
I'm working on a Monday and Tuesday.
We're saving up for the divisional round.
Okay.
Mitch, let's talk some college football. What do you anticipate Saturday in Madison?
You know, I'm not anticipating any kind of I don't mean this in a bad, like, negative way, but I'm not anticipating good things from Nebraska until I see them. Mm-hmm. Or I guess a better way to say that is I'm not expecting Nebraska to turn a corner and, you know, have that breakout game until I actually see it happen. I think, you know, you can fool me once, maybe twice, but at this point in the progression of the program, and I know it's going to happen at some point where they're going to have that aha moment and you're going to be like, wow, we've been waiting for that for, you know, a long time. But I'm not expecting it or predicting it until it actually happens. So I guess I'm not going to get it right. It's going to come, and it's going to be there at some point. And then after that, we can get back on track with being accurate about what to expect from these guys. At this point, they're too volatile.
Are you surprised by the volatility?
Yeah. You know, I'm hesitant on that. Because, you know, I'm listening more to the theories this week and in the last week or so about why this is happening, and I do put some stock into the narrative about you got to burn the whole house down to the foundation in order to build it back up to its strongest point, and that there's another way to go about this that Nebraska could have undertaken that may have seen better play on the field in the first 4 weeks of this season, but it wouldn't have necessarily brought you more long-term success or as much long-term success. You know, I think that's kind of a glass half full way to look at it right now, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'll believe in that kind of theory with what we're seeing now. So from that sense, it's going to come with a lot of volatility. You know, if you burn the house down, there's nothing but the foundation at this point. And, you know, the building has to begin soon. I think the building has to begin here this month, now that we're into October. You're not going to see a finished product. You're not going to see a house with a roof on it. And I'm going way down the house analogy. I didn't want to do that, but, you know, Scott Frost basically got it started yesterday, and I'll just take it to another level.
Mitch, I know it may be a little bit too early to think about the future, but of course, we know that Frost, he got UCF turned around in the second year, said he was thinking about the same timeline for Nebraska. From what you've seen this year from the Huskers, do you have any doubt that it'll happen in the second year, at least pretty much a major turnaround? I mean, that's what it'll have to be from this pretty horrendous year so far. Do you think he'll still be on path to do that?
If you're turning around from 2-10, then, you know, a major turnaround would be 5 or 6 wins. So from that perspective, yeah, and I don't know that Nebraska is going to go 2-10 this year, but it's kind of looking like that 4 games into the season. I think that there does need to be some reevaluation of what the timeline is because of what we've seen this first month. Now, the first 2 seasons are going to encompass, 24 or 25 games. So we're not even a quarter of the way or a fifth of the way, not even a fifth of the way into that full sample size yet. So I don't think there's a great urgency to rush into predicting what's going to happen in 2019. But I went into 2018 thinking that, yes, that there was going to be a real breakthrough at some point next year, early next year, early enough to the point where you'd see it in the final record of the season. And I think they don't need to do it, but I'm starting to reevaluate when I think that that's going to happen. I think you'll see Nebraska look a lot better next year, yes. They're not going to be doing the same kind of stuff that we've seen these first 4 games. Are they going to be 10-2? Are they going to be challenging for the Big Ten West next year? I'm not sold on that based on the first month of this season.
Mitch, have you talked to coaches that have taken over programs that have been a part of, and I'm sure you have, but is there anything that reminds you of Nebraska's situation when it comes to transition and expectations that it feels like everyone was off? And what I mean by everyone, I'm not saying the 9-3 crowd or the 8-4 crowd, but there was nobody in the 0-4 camp. I mean, does this remind you of anything that you've seen in college football?
Well, to answer that part of the question, it does. This kind of thing has happened around college football. I think seemingly every conversation that I have or anyone in the media has with Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, you know, he goes back into the history of his time at the school. That's just kind of the way the conversation goes with Ferentz. And I was looking the other day just out of curiosity at his first year, and he won 1 game that year. And I think a lot of people in Nebraska remember Kirk Ferentz's first game at Iowa, and it was against Nebraska, and it was the game where Eric Crouch plowed over the defensive back on the way to the end zone. And I was a little caught off guard when I realized that first of all, that was so long ago. And I don't remember that game. I was at that game. I don't remember it so much for being Kirk Ferentz's first game. Obviously that was a big moment in Iowa history. It was also a big moment in Eric Crouch's history. And as a result, Nebraska history, you know, and route 2 years later to the Heisman Trophy. But, you know, if you look at it from the other side of the coin, from the other perspective, they tore that thing down. And it was coming off of a 3-win season with Hayden Fry at the end of a long run where some things had deteriorated in that program. And they had to tear it down to the ground, kind of like I think what you're seeing this year in Lincoln. So we've talked about that, not in the context of Nebraska, but just how it worked at Iowa. And there have been other places that have come from really far down to build the thing back up. I'm not recalling a specific conversation other than that one about mm-hmm. about that exact topic, but it's fairly common in the sport not always to see the kind of season that it looks like Nebraska might be headed toward this year, but you know, you'll often see those 500 type seasons before a big breakout occurs. And you know, there's probably a similar one of these going on at UCLA right now with what Chip Kelly's going through, and the Bruins, of course, also were 4-0 alongside Nebraska as the only winless teams in the Power Five.
Mitch, let's switch gears. Let's talk Jimbo Fisher. What's your reaction to the face mask gate?
Yeah, much ado about nothing. I don't think it was a great look for him to get upset on the sideline, but
I'm not really shocked by him getting upset on the sideline.
No, neither am I, and you know, I think it's sometimes there's a desire on the part of the people who have jobs like mine to look for something to get worked up about, mm-hmm. and this I think falls into that category. I'm not saying it's a good moment for Texas A&M or for him, but I'm not losing any sleep over it.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's symptomatic of a bigger issue with Jimbo or with that program. I think he got upset, and you know, as long as the we haven't heard that the player it happened to was upset. The guy is a captain, and he's somebody that they rely on for leadership. And I'll take Fisher at his word that he was just telling him, "Hey, we need you. We need you present. We need you in this moment. We can't have you drifting off." So, it's not. This is not Woody Hayes, you know, punching somebody.
Right. Mitch, where are you going to be this weekend, bud? Got about a couple minutes left. Who are you covering?
I'm going to see the number one team in the country this weekend.
Headed to
Fayetteville, Arkansas. So I will be able to look back on my experiences this season, having already seen Oklahoma and Georgia. I get the chance to see Alabama and Nick Saban and Tua Tagovailoa play a much overmatched SEC West opponent in Arkansas. And hopefully we'll have some kind of comparisons to make between Bama and Georgia and Oklahoma and how they all could potentially shake out along with your other playoff contenders.
About a minute left. This year's Wisconsin team, what's their ceiling as we're four games in?
I think it's still pretty high. Clearly they haven't played to their potential. They haven't played to their ceiling in the first four games of the year. None of them have been off the charts great performances. Clearly the BYU game was the big bugaboo mm-hmm. on their record so far. Really like the way they responded against Iowa in a tough environment to come back and win that thing coming from behind at night. I think their ceiling is high enough that in a one game situation, they can push Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. So their ceiling is high. If Alex Hornibrook is on and playing well, we've seen it before that Wisconsin, they're not going to get pushed around or get necessarily held down or blown out by anybody. They've played LSU, they've played Ohio State, they've played some of the most dominant programs in the country over the last few years with athletes that are inarguably better than what Wisconsin has, and you know they compete. So I think by the end of the year they'll be back in that spot.
Mitch, enjoy Fayetteville. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
All right, thanks, Chris. Take care. Have a good rest of the week.
You too, man. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. We'll hear from the Pirate and talk a little Mahomes on the way.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, it's Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo coming up. Don't want to miss, in less than an hour, Mohammed Berry going to be with us on Hail Varsity Radio. The laws of physics apply to you. Whenever you're in a vehicle, your body's traveling the same speed as that vehicle, even though you're sitting on your keister. And if that vehicle stops abruptly, Whether it's a hard stop or a crash, your body will continue moving forward at that speed. Something's got to stop the motion, and airbags aren't enough. It's a seatbelt that'll stop you. Do you want it to be the seatbelt that stops you or the windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury to you in your vehicle, and your body needs to slow down. Buckle up. Driver's seat, passenger seat, back seat, buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. What's balance mean to you? Water with your beer? Vegetables with your steak? A workout with your large pizza? Well, the Pirate, Mike Leach, we love the... I'll have to get the Pirate on next week. Balance is overrated, and he was asked about offensive balance today.
I want all the positions to touch it. There's nothing balanced about 50% run, 50% pass, because that's 50% stupid. Now, what is balanced is when you have five skill positions, if all five of them are contributing to the offensive effort in a somewhat equal fashion, then that's balanced. But this notion that if you hand it to one guy 50% of the time and then you throw it to a combination of two guys, the other 50%, that you're really balanced and you proudly pat yourself on the back and tell yourself that, and people have been doing that for decades, well, then you're delusional. So, yeah, that's how I look at it.
Balance overrated. Nebraska, they weren't balanced. They weren't throwing the football 25 times a game and running the football only 25 times a game. They were run heavy, and then they'd sting you. They were all about efficiency. They'd throw it 12 times off a fake option pass and find Johnny Mitchell down the seam for six, babe. It's good. He kind of got pissy with the... Well, can you explain the idea of balance? Because he didn't rush for a single yard in their win against Utah. It's pretty funny, the Pirate. So the follow-up was, who came up with the idea about balance?
Where do you think that notion came from?
I just think stuff over time. Just, you know, somebody does it and somebody has success and... I think it becomes kind of self-perpetuating, I think, you know, and as they have success. Well, you know, we're balanced 50% run, 50% pass, you know. And, no, there's nothing clever about that. The clever thing is, you know, the Wishbone, who I think's a great offense, which I think's a great offense, there's nothing 50% run about the Wishbone, you know. They're like 95% run. But everybody touched the ball. That's why it's one of the greatest offenses devised.
Boom. Hoping to talk with Barry Switzer tomorrow. Speaking of Wishbone, get his take on it. Okay, so in keeping with the Pirate, the air raid, the offense, how about Mahomes? How about freaking Mahomes in Kansas City? Are you on the bandwagon yet? Can we hear the game winner? Sorry, Donkey fans that are out there. But this guy in this offense with this talent around him, is this the year for Kansas City?
Mitch Morse, Canadian Dr. Duvernay-Tardif. They go tackle over tackle left. Unbalanced line to the left side. Halfback Kareem Hunt to that unbalanced side. Trying to score three. Left side touchdown. Kansas City. A 4-yard touchdown run behind the unbalanced line at 1:39 to go in the game.
That was awesome. And listen, Denver Donkeyland has been a place for AFC West teams to go die. Kansas City doesn't win there unless your name's Montana on Monday night back in 92. Might have been 94. I remember watching that. But I stayed up for this one last night. It was incredible. It was back and forth. You had Denver up by two touchdowns. And Mahomes did Brett Favre-like things, including a left-handed pass to Tariq.
I'm just trying to look for another play, to be honest with you. I mean, it's when you step back, you go, whoa, that was pretty good. But really, you're just trying to figure out the next play that he can scramble around and make plays on. So
thank you, Andy. You weren't wowed because you were worrying about your job. Fine. All right. Danny Burke, I gotta ask you. I mean, he was kind of just like, yeah, okay, so he lit up Pittsburgh. Not an easy thing to do, but still did it. Lit up San Francisco. Who else did they beat? Somebody, right? I mean, it wasn't like New England or... But they'll have the Patriots. They'll have Jacksonville. Test is going to be this coming Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday's against Jacksonville.
They have Jacksonville at home. And that defense is for real. But I'll tell you this, man. You've got a slew of talent in the NFL. You've always had it. You've been in discussion and beaten over the head with drop-off and viewership. I tell you, between Baker Mayfield and Mahomes...
Mitch Trubisky.
And Goff. I mean, you've got some young stars at quarterback. And calling them stars this early's a reach. I get it. But Goff with McVay, man, that is... That is Tangare and Tonic, right? I mean, perfect together. And Mahomes in this offense with this weapon, with his arsenal, as bad as their defense is, my question is there going to be a defense, and you'll find out Sunday, that shuts down this offense enough where the opposing offense can beat up on a bad Chiefs defense?
I think there's too many weapons for the Chiefs, but... Once again, the fans are going to be disappointed because their defense will let them down in the playoffs.
You don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Is there a defense that can stop this offense? I mean, how cool would it be? I'm going to throw it out there now to see a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl where it's 45-42.
They play in Mexico City in a few weeks.
I know, week 11. Because here's your stretch for the Chiefs. Yeah, you have Donkeyland last night. You have Jacksonville. Then you have New England. And then you have week 11 in Mexico City, which that'll be awesome. Is that a Monday night or Sunday night?
I would assume Monday night.
So that'll be fun. That'll be cool. And I love watching Mahomes. I've seen enough to say if he stays in this situation, is it all him? No, but a lot of it's him. And you've got a quarterback from this air raid, this leech tree, like Goff, like Baker, that are doing some nice things in the NFL. I didn't see the Cleveland game. I just know that it was a shootout, and it went into overtime. I know the Rams went nuts against Minnesota. That was fun. It's fun to watch NFL football again. And it's fun to watch these quarterbacks. And you get a 27-23 Denver Kansas City Monday night. It doesn't get much better than that. Pharmacist Jeff right now is still breaking things because his donkey's lost. But that was a good time. And I'm ready to kind of tip my cap to Mahomes because the most of us were going, what the hell are you doing, Kansas City, drafting him that high?
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Big Ten Buffet in 10 minutes. Rick Pizzo going to join us. And we're 30 minutes away from Muhammad Berry. Oh, Mo, going to stop by. Nebraska trying to get some momentum. Tomorrow, we are loaded up with some college football royalty. Excited about that. Danny, what are you doing tonight for the game? What are your plans? How do you anticipate dealing with what could be the last game of the year for your Cubs?
Just trapping myself in my apartment. And watching it by myself. I can't, in these crucial games, I can't be around
other people. You don't watch with anybody?
No. The only person who I'd really want to watch with would be my dad or, like, people who really follow the team.
They get you.
Right.
And you get them.
Yeah. Not just people who are just going to turn away after one or two innings, but they got to, like, really know and be able to handle me screaming at the TV and just at everything else. So
you haven't outgrown the blue streak of swear words to said TV announcer?
I don't think that ever ends, does it? You tell me.
No, it does not. It doesn't. No. But see, where have you been? Are you getting more upset about a team that hoses you and you have a bad beat? Or is it about your team that doesn't win? What tweaks your emotions more? Money or fandom?
Depends. Sometimes it goes hand in hand.
You're not you're a brilliant kid. and I mean that, son. Do you bet on? Are you betting on your Cubs tonight?
Oh yeah, I doubled down, baby, last night. Are you kidding me?
That's pretty good. That's but is it wise?
Probably not. Because
you're gonna feel like just complete crap tomorrow,
right?
If it goes the wrong way and they lose,
exactly. Bring it on. Or I could be feeling the exact opposite.
Always the optimist. I like it, Danny Burke. I want to remind you about your friends at AgriGold. That sign in the soybean field is AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm. The AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you know and trust. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Squeeze Jason in here. Jason, got about a minute, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty, I'll tell you what. You know, Wisconsin's went through quite a few coaches in the last several years.
And they hit on that about 25 minutes ago. They're the one program, brother, that survived it, aren't they?
No doubt. That just tells you that Sean Eichhorst did not have a good handle on that athletic department like Alvarez did, you know? And I always thought maybe Eichhorst was trying to get that long-term, trying to get that Wisconsin AD job. But, man, I just – you talk about it. Alvarez is – he's got that program locked down from the top, and they just do not miss a beat. I'm tempted not to watch this game on Saturday, even though I know I will. It's just – it's getting hard. I mean, I know there's brighter days ahead, but it's getting hard, Schmitty, to watch these wood sheddings. I mean, we thought we were done with these. I guess we're not quite done with them. But,
no, man. And here's the thing. You should – you know, you're – and thanks for the call, Jason. Good to hear from you. You're numb right now, aren't you? As a Nebraska fan? I mean, you've been hit. Your backside's been spanked. You have no more feeling. This goes for 10 years beyond. So what's one more? The problem is thinking it's going to change drastically. And that's where the apprehension is. Is it going to be another beatdown? Or are they going to go play? And if they lose, they lose. But at least they showed out. That's what you're waiting on.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back into an hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We have missed him. We are excited to have him back. Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo back with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, how's the carpool lane, brother?
Well, man, life is good. It has been extremely busy. Being on the road is a little bit different. You know, you start doing these sideline reporting gigs, and it's great because you're on site. You get to see these games. But the problem is, I think people forget about it when they say, man, it's really cool that you travel. It's the only game you get to see. You don't get to dial in to the rest of the league. So for the first 3 weeks, I saw all sorts of Michigan and I saw all sorts of Ohio State. But you want to talk about the rest of the league, man. I got to get back on a Sunday. I got to hit the DVR machine. And I got to really dial myself in because it's a wonderful thing to be at these games. But as you well know, it's also glorious to be sitting in front of your six or seven TVs in the house with a beverage of your choice and watching every single game.
You have nailed a lot of really cool things. Beverage of choice, see all of them. You are going to be in Madtown Saturday night, 6:30, with Mr. Kugler and Mr. Millen. Wisconsin 28 is what? Fill in the blank.
Wisconsin is Wisconsin. And I know that seems really boring, but they don't change, Chris. It doesn't matter who their starting quarterback is. It doesn't matter who the running back is. It doesn't even really matter, as long as Barry Alvarez is in the AD chair, who the head coach is. They are going to do what Wisconsin does. They are going to grind you down. They're going to run the football down your throat. They're going to throw the ball to the tight ends a lot. They're going to utilize that play action. They're going to rely on an opportunistic defense. BYU maybe offered a little bit of a game plan to teams that have similar personnel and being able to spread Wisconsin out. I'm not so sure that right now Nebraska is a team that fits into that mold. and would be able to do the kind of things that BYU did when they upset the Badgers earlier this year.
Rick Pizzo with his Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. I was looking at that BYU game. Gaglione missed the kick to force overtime. And Wisconsin's been exceptional when it comes to taking care of the football, except that game. One mistake, one turnover led to points. There's your difference. But Wisconsin is so sound, Rick. Nebraska has not been. Last in penalties. The fiasco that was 11 for 136 and backbreaking penalties on third down. The other conversion attempts on third down. Teams are getting, on average, third and 10 conversion rates. Half of the conversions on third down have been either via penalty or third and long. Yeah. It's been mind-blowing.
And there's no way that you can win football games with an inexperienced roster and a freshman quarterback and dealing with injuries if you commit 136 yards worth of penalties. You're just not going to win football games, not against teams that have athletes like Big Ten and basically every Power Five school is going to have. There's just no way that you can make up for that. And I love the way that Scott approached his post-game press conference on Saturday. He said very simply and very clearly, this is not a matter of can or can't. This is a matter of will or won't. And if I have guys that won't stop themselves from committing stupid penalties and won't stop basically costing us the game, I won't play them. They will not see the field, even if that means that their replacement is a guy who is not as talented and who can't turn a game around with his play when he does the right things. I think that is exactly what Scott is trying to do, because you have to build that culture first before you can get to the point where you're competing for championships. And I know that's an overused phrase, build the culture. But is there anybody that Nebraska in the world could have hired that understands the culture more than Scott Frost? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously no. He is trying to get that through the heads of his young players.
I think they're finally sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he mentioned that yesterday with some of the practice efforts he has seen out of guys that he hadn't seen before. What took you so long, but I'm glad it's happening, is kind of the response. Is there anything you like about Nebraska and the way we've had to talk about it here the last 4 weeks, being 0-4, is, yeah, there's a lot of things you can pile on, other things that aren't what they need to be. And because of the instant success at Central Florida, that was anticipated here, and a bigger mess to clean up culturally that he's trying to fix. What can you nitpick positively about Nebraska? What do you see from the limited time you have seen him? I'm sure you've prepped a little bit here for the Wisconsin-Nebraska game, but is there anything that you go, okay, that could be really good here by the end of the year or in the near future?
Yeah, offensively, I think Martinez is going to be a star in this league. I still don't think he's close to 100%. I mean, he's still hesitating on some runs. He's still not fully stepping into throws. I think when he gains all of his health back, then you gain all of your confidence back, and you become a different quarterback. He will be a difference maker. I mean, the run game against Purdue, that's a lot to build on. This is not a terrible Purdue defense. I know they got torched by Missouri, but they were going up and down the field. The Purdue defense that returned most of its guys from last year and had a really good year. So to be able to run the football like that, I think that is a huge plus and something that Nebraska can build on. Listen, I think there were positives in basically every outing this year, minus the Michigan game, which you basically have to burn the tape, because I'm not sure that there's a lot that you can gain from looking back at that tape other than to show some of your guys that you probably quit, which is unacceptable. But other than that, I think there have been positives in nearly every game, and you can pick a few of those positives out. I just think at the end of the day, it is really hard to sell anything when you're a head coach and you're a staff. The more losses you have and the longer that the zero stays in the win column, the harder it is to sell whatever it is you're trying to sell to your football team.
Rick, you nailed it, because you are telling guys this is going to work. And seniors on this roster have had three different guys tell them this is going to work. Is that part of the problem when you talk and hear about buy-in?
No doubt. And I think, you know, to see Farmer and to see some other guys and hear some other guys come out and say, we are buying in. The younger guys need to make sure that they're buying in. That's interesting to me because if there's anybody, if there's any class that would have the right to be the most frustrated, it is the senior class. Because you've had all these different regimes. You've had high hopes with the change of one coach to another coach. Now you have expectations that are probably as high as they've been since Tom Osborne retired in that last national championship of a couple decades ago. So whether those expectations are realistic or not, they have to be realistic from freshmen through seniors. And it seems to me like the seniors are trying to trickle that down. But, hey, listen, it goes right back to Jevia's transfer. No one wants to wait today. It is all about instant gratification. And so as excited as you are to see Scott Frost come back, if you're an instant gratification guy, and a lot of young players are that way, partially their fault, partially because they've been told that they're the best through their entire football career, Pop Warner, going through the AAU version of football and all that kind of stuff, you have to get them some type of gratification early on in their career for them to give you the kind of buy-in that you are going to need throughout their careers.
Rick, we saw Wisconsin struggle earlier this year against BYU, falling at home 24-21. Do you see Nebraska being able to capitalize on some of those faults that Wisconsin had during that game? If there are any, what are they for Wisconsin? And do you see Nebraska at least being able to cover potentially, and this being one of Nebraska's possible upsets? It seems when they have bad seasons, they typically get one upset a year. Could this be that game?
I have a really hard time honestly seeing it. I mean, obviously, it would be a massive upset. Night games at Camp Randall provide an environment that is unmatched. I mean, it's as good as anywhere. Perhaps it's matched at the Horseshoe or matched at Penn State, but there's nothing that beats it. It's as good as it gets. I was there when they upset number one Ohio State a few years back. Obviously, I was there when Melvin Gordon, I think he's still running, went for 400-plus against Nebraska that night, and that was an afternoon game, but the end of the game was in the lights and the snowstorm, and Bo Pelini trying to bury his head in the sand and the snow along with John Papuchis. I think all those memories, and I know these guys weren't on those teams, but I think that for Wisconsin, at home, under the lights, against the Nebraska team that I don't think can spread Wisconsin out the way that BYU did, they're just not built right now that way. In a couple of years, when the system is in and the recruits are in and the players are there and Scott's doing what his team did offensively at UCF, much different story. This Saturday, I would be shocked.
Couple more minutes. Rick Pizzo with us. Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo, he's on the sidelines Saturday night with BTN. Mr. Kugler, Mr. Millen, Mr. Pizzo. That's a good trio right there. Let's shift gears. Michigan survived at Northwestern. Great comeback by the Maize and Blue. Maryland's kind of a tricky team. They've looked really good. They looked bad in their loss. Is this a potential upset ball game?
You know, it's hard for me to see this one either, and the reason why is because for all of Northwestern's faults, they have a pretty good defensive front. And so what they did was they got out to a lead, a quick lead, which I think surprised everybody. And then while I think they got way too conservative too early, what it did was it kept Michigan from coming back in a quicker fashion.
Gotcha.
I don't think that Maryland is built that way because Maryland wants to run the football between the tackles. They want to run the football outside. They want to run the. They are a run-first football team. And you look at what Michigan has in terms of their defensive front seven. I just don't. I mean, even when Notre Dame took advantage of Michigan, they took advantage with the pass game. You saw firsthand what Nebraska tried to do completely unsuccessfully against Michigan. I think this Michigan defense is. It may not be the best in the country, but if it's not the best in the country, it's not far behind because you have guys like Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich, who could basically match up with any offensive lineman in the nation. I would be surprised, especially adding to that factor that Michigan was scared by Northwestern. Anytime you get scared and you narrowly escape an upset, typically you will see that team come out remarkably motivated the next week. That's what I expect from the Wolverines.
Is it going to continue to be instant classics here on BTN between Penn State and Ohio State? What a game last Saturday night. A thought on that one.
Man, unbelievable. Back and forth we go. Second year in a row, Penn State unable to hold on to a late lead. I think so many questions will be asked, and I think it's fair to ask, that on the most important play of the game, it's fourth and four, fourth and five, and the ball is not in Trace McSorley's hands. He's not making a decision with his legs or with his arms. He's handing off to Miles Sanders. To me, that is the dictionary definition of coaches trying to outsmart themselves. If you have the best player on the field, the best player on the field has to be the one to make the decision when the game is on the line. As great as that football game and that finish was, I think it was sullied a little by that decision, and that takes nothing away from the play that Chase Young made, the Ohio State defensive end, who was actually on a pass stunt and realized it was a run to the opposite side and somehow found a way to reset his feet and take Sanders down. Terrific finish. I know that Ohio State fans would never tell you this. They would never say that Penn State has caught up to Michigan as far as a rivalry is concerned, but I don't know if you look back the last 5-6 years, even back to the year Ohio State won the national championship. Penn State took them to double overtime in James Franklin's first year. Since Franklin has been there and Urban has been there, I will say that Ohio State-Penn State is a better rivalry game than Ohio State-Michigan.
You are right on. Last thought, Rick. No, you got to run. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, across the window from me, wearing his Schwarber jersey. He has not thrown out a first pitch at Wrigley. You have. How are my two favorite Cub fans feeling tonight? Pizzo, you go first because I know you got to run.
I think they'll be all right. I was not confident in last night. The Brewers have given the Cubs a ton of trouble late in the season. They got some guys that are hitting the ball unbelievably well. I mean, Christian Yelich is just ridiculous right now. I don't see that same thing with the Rockies. I think the Cubs are fine tonight. But the problem being, then you got to suit right back up against the team that's had your numbers throughout September. So I think they get the dub tonight, and then I think it could potentially be a slightly longer offseason for the Cubs than most in Chicago would like.
Are you guys ready to pile on Madden, Pizzo?
Not yet, not yet. You got a World Series to your credit. You change things forever in this city. His glasses still look really cool. He's a fun guy to cover. He's got a lot of street cred right now. I think it's time to hold off piling on until a couple of more early exits from the playoffs.
Rick, we'll do this again. Enjoy Madison, and thanks for the time, bud.
My pleasure as always, buddy. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Big Ten Buffet, Rick Pizzo, Hail Varsity Radio. Good to get caught up with Mr. Pizzo. Don't forget, 5 minutes away from Muhammad Berry, Mo, going to join the show. There is a bet that is going to be awesome between Les Miles and Steve Spurrier. So Les he sent a tweet out to Spurrier. How much you want to bet your Gators are going down this weekend? And I don't know, is that game in the swamp?
I think so.
I'm trying to think. That's kind of a killer crossover. You have the
LSU's a 2-point favorite.
It's probably an LSU.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so.
Really? They're 2-point favorite. Anywho, they're in the swamp. So Spurrier tweets back at Les Miles, shoot, we're going to win Saturday. If we don't, I'll eat some of that grass of yours. And when we do win, you're wearing my visor.
LSU's winning.
I love it. More Spurrier, more or less Miles. It's pretty good. Muhammad Berry, standout linebacker with the Big Red. Up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes here, Mo Bailey joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Mo, you talk about loving the game. You love football. When did you fall in love with football?
I fell in love with football probably in fourth grade. It's when I seen Michael Vick, Warrior Dunn play, and I remember sitting by the couch and just being fascinated by the game and how tough they are, stuff like that. Then I remember getting my first poster, which was a Tom Brady poster. Yeah, because that was the only poster in the book fair. So, you know, I loved football for a long time, you know, even though soccer was my first sport because that was my family's sport and my culture where they leaned on heavily. So I loved it for a time.
So you got Tom Brady poster. I assume you got a Mike Vick jersey. Mm-hmm. And you talk Warrick Dunn. So you're kind of going back to those early 2000, mid 2000 Dirty Birds down in Atlanta.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the that's the team I fell in love with. Everyone wanted to be Mike Vick. Tom Brady was at his prime. You know, I used to look at him, and it was a great moment.
Well, Husker linebacker DeMario Williams, part of that Atlanta team, too. They were good. You just spent time up front, and you talk about the opportunity, and that's a super outlook, the opportunity to go on the road, Wisconsin, front seven ball game. You were talking about defensively. They're known for their offense. How are you feeling? How was practice today defensively moving forward for Saturday? How are things?
I think it's good. I think, again, one thing about this team is we don't dwell on the game before. So our Monday practices are consistently good. So, I mean, front seven game, stop the run. That's the name of this game. And teams, you know, BYU was successful in doing that. And I feel like we can be too. So we just got to put our minds into it, and we got to be ready to play.
Few minutes here, Muhammad Berry with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. I see you out on the field, and you are very demonstrative. You're a guy that enjoys, loves playing the ball game. What are you saying, or what sounds are coming out when you're making a play or flexing?
I don't know. It's just the feeling of the game. It's just one thing. That's how I know I love the game. It's just this feeling I get every time I'm playing. And then when I make great plays, it just takes over. And it's not flash, it's all fire. And there's nothing fake about it. So it just comes out, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just, you know, loving it.
Does it fire up your teammates?
They say it does. So I guess it does. They love it, so yeah.
Mo, tell me about your relationship with Barrett Rood. What's Coach Rood done for you? How have you connected together? And explain what type of teacher he is.
Coach Rood is a fantastic mentor, fantastic coach, and he's just a great man. You know, he practices what he preaches, and he lives by the code. So one thing I admire about him is even in tough times like this, he stays consistent with the man he is, and that means a lot to me. And that just it teaches me something that's much more valuable than just in the game of football, but in the game of life. So for me, Coach Rue has been a great, great teacher for me, and I'm happy he's here. Has gave me all the confidence in the world to play the game, and has, you know, brought the dog back out. brought the dog back out, and I'm just thankful for him.
At what point, and I watch you, and you're flying around. At what point did this scheme start to click for you, and allow you to play 100 miles per hour?
I think it started fitting me at the end of fall camp when I really knew that this scheme was right for me, and a lot of the stuff we was doing. There's a lot of stuff that I'm still, you know, not keyed on that I should be, that I made mistakes myself this game, and I contributed to the loss as much as my teammates did. But I think the scheme just fits me as a player, and how it is attack based, and it just, you know, I like it.
When it comes to the attack side of things, there's going to be big plays made by the defense. There's going to be some island moments, too, where good offenses will make plays. Are you happy with the resiliency of the defense to bounce back and kind of flush a bad play or a big play that's been given up and be ready the next play?
Yeah, I'm proud of my teammates in that. And it just goes to show, again, like the approach our coaches have as a calm, cool, and collective, is that's the right approach. Because when in times of chaos and in times like that, you got to keep back, you got to go back and understand that it's something to do the next play. You know, you can't dwell on the past. You have to be ready for this play to play next. And that's what it just goes to show. What they practice what they preach is what they practice, and it's just rubbing on us, and then it's rubbing off on the culture. And in due time, everyone will be the same.
Coach Frost, pretty emotional in the post game. Mo, a thought on his message after the last game, his message going forward, and his frustration level as a guy on this team. Do you take it upon yourself to hold some of your teammates accountable? I know it's not an easy thing to do, but Coach Frost was very, very adamant in his frustration, it sounded like, after the game.
It hurts for me to see my coach like that, or to see this program in the state it is right now, that, we lost games and we are so much of a better team than we are last year. And it's crazy that we have this record, because if we were this team last year, we would have won plenty of games. And everyone know that we are a better team. It's just discipline, you know, like he said, and he's emotional about it because he wants to help us, and he's been doing everything he possibly can to love us, and if we keep on, just like anyone who have kids and children, they keep on being their self, you almost feel hopeless, you know what I mean, when that happened. And I know he's a man of faith, but it's just, we can't beat ourselves. That's stuff he can't control on the field. If we just start hitting people out of bounds, lay hits and stuff like that. And it's okay when it happens the first two games, which a lot of penalties come in the first two games for a lot of teams. But when it starts leaking into the meat of the season, that's when it's a big problem. So I'm with him with how he's feeling and that.
Are you comfortable going up to guys that maybe older than you, mm-hmm. or you're a junior now, so there's going to be a lot of guys that are younger than you, but what's that like to have to get that message across or be an extension of the coaching staff? Do you welcome that responsibility?
Yeah, you welcome it, but first, I'm not into being a hypocrite. Right. So the first thing is I always look at myself. I look at myself and I make sure that I'm perfect myself. And then when you approach them, you got show that you love them. And how you show that you love them, you give them passion. You know, you come at them like, oh, you have to do this. You need to do this for yourself first. And then for the team, you know what I mean? And then you approach them in that way, because sometimes people get defensive when it's like, okay, the team and you're not, and they feel like they're the ones who's left out of the team. You approach them in that way of saying, hey, you got to do this, you know what I mean? And if you love someone, if you truly love your teammates and you love this program, you have to do it. It's not even a question about it.
Mo Berry with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Mo, last thought. What linebacker do you love watching in the NFL? Who do you want to kind of pattern your game after? Who do you pattern your game after, or do you?
Levante David, I would say that, because he does a great job of, even as a more fit, a smaller linebacker, whatever that is. He has a great balance of speed and power, and has great footwork, and that's someone I just model my game after, because he's great in many ways and very balanced of a linebacker, even given his size. So yeah.
He's incredible in coverage. Mm-hmm. He can get after the quarterback, yeah. And he's money at stopping the run.
Yeah, he's a very balanced person, and that's why I aim to be just like that.
You ever meet him?
Yeah, I met him. We talk, yeah.
Right. Mo, best to you, man. Have a good time in Madison.
Yeah, appreciate it. We about to win. Yep.
Mo Berry, there you go. Black shirt, inside linebacker, pretty real. Sit down with him and where he's at. We'll see how Nebraska gets after it on Saturday night. Here is some stuff from Coach Chenander, kind of keeping with that tough love theme. I think this is cut 11 here. Defensive problems. Now, you've had bad third down numbers. You've also had big plays allowed, and they've not been exclusive either.
third and long. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but we have way too many penalties, way too many rush lane errors, way too many busts in coverage. And that about sums it up. You know, I think I read somewhere, you guys know better than I do, but however many, I think there's like four penalties where we would have got off the field, two of them which negated turnovers. There's four times we let the quarterback out of the pocket, which is directly attributed to rush lanes. And then there's some missed assignments that you guys don't see in the paper, but most of it's that. A couple of times there's good quarterbacks, good receivers in this league, they made plays, but a lot of it is directly related to us. We can't get out of our own way right now.
You know, and you've heard that a lot, but it's been so true. And we'll see if Nebraska can be a little bit better of getting out of their own way Saturday night. Tough opponent to do it against because Wisconsin's pretty much flawless. Their last outing, they were flawless. Iowa was not. That's how they won that game. It was a game of chicken when it came down to mistakes. But the guys like Mo Berry on your team, I mean, we've had different themes each week, right? This week seems to be about burning and building homes, construction. Last week was guys who love football. And in 3 weeks ago, what was it? Probably respecting the game, attention to detail. So, but you know, it's been tore down. This is a chance to go out there, put an effort together. Really, I mean, I don't know about you, but this was kind of another mile marker for me Saturday night. How do they do against the Buffs? How do they do against Michigan? And after those two games, where are they here once you hit October? Well, they're 0-for. But are they going to be competitive Saturday night? Hail Varsity continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Playoff baseball coming up tonight, correct? Am I nuts? We have playoff baseball tonight on the radio?
Yep, it's on ESPN tonight. You excited?
I'm going to watch.
Are you going to be giving me crap the whole time?
No, not at all. I'll bet you tonight, but I'll leave you alone.
Ooh, okay. I want you to bet on the Rockies, man. That's a good sign.
I'll take them.
All right. By all means.
What's the run line?
It's probably like a run and a half. It's usually like a half or one and a half.
I'll take a run and a half.
We could just do straight up, man.
I don't want to do that.
We don't have to do the odds. It could just be straight up even.
But see, what good is that? You got Lester on the hill. Colorado's pitchers typically throw batting practice. Junior to a Rockies game this year.
Yeah, the Rockies, they're like 14th in OPS on the road. They're not great at hitting on the road. They're traveling three different places in 3 days, have to go across.
That's why I want my run and a half.
I don't know if I want the run and a half.
We have 15 minutes left prior to Chicago. Right. So what's going to happen is you're going to make a decision by 5:57 tonight.
All right.
Whether you're giving me a run and a half and we're going to double or nothing the steak and a beer.
All right, sounds like a plan.
Got to get even with your little ass somehow. Here is Coach Shenander. You heard about the defensive problems. He was asked about, you know, Wisconsin's program, how, you know, Wisconsin's Wisconsin. And then he got into what you heard Mo Berry talking about. Like, if you truly love someone or a program, you're going to step up and call out the problems. And this will open up a bigger conversation here in a minute, but here's Coach Shenander.
They have a really good coaching staff, and they have a championship attitude on their football team. We are not a disciplined team right now, plain and simple. We bust too much. We have too many penalties, period. And I told the kids, your job is you need to execute better. You need to play harder. I need to coach you better, and I need to love you harder. And sometimes loving you harder is hugging you and telling you how nice you are, and sometimes it's putting my foot in your rear end and telling you the truth. So we need to get some things fixed, and they're getting there, but this is not – I know no one wants to hear that. It's not an overnight process. I know everybody wants us to win right now and win big. It's just not where it is right now. We need to get to the discipline of Wisconsin. Do we want to be Wisconsin? No, that's not our style of football, but we need to get to be the championship attitude that they have, the championship discipline that they have, the championship mentality that they have.
You can get to where they're at without mirroring what they do schematically. But from a culture standpoint, you need to be every bit of Wisconsin as to what they are now. And that's what's going on. And Coach Frost talked about it over the summer. Out in Nebraska, in Nebraska, or whatever he said with Coach DiNardo in the sit-down. But right now, man, there's just... they're fighting it. And I want to know if you think Saturday... And I want to go back to Jason's call before we got done with hour one. He was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. And I know Jason's a big Nebraska fan. He's been listening for years. And we appreciate him for doing that. As hard as it's been for you to be a Nebraska fan the last few years, I do not believe you've shut the TV off or turned the radio off. I don't. Because there's a part of you that you want to watch, you want to cheer, you want to hear success, you want to see success. You want to be there for that moment when success happens again. Your excitement level, the way you lost it in a good way when they beat Oregon. And man, it's just been a misdiagnosis as to what this team could be year one. It's not the coach's fault. Had some bad luck players in a commitment sense. You've had to learn the hard way. You've had some bad luck. It's been screwy. As much hype and buildups that's gone on since December 4th to the spring game being sold out, for God's sake, to the summer amping up, to some confident words being spoken by your head coach. Winnable game, adjust to us. That's who he is. Like it or not, that's who he is. He is going to talk a big game, not because he's insecure. He's going to talk a big game because he believes every ounce of it. That's how he played ball. And it got the best out of him. Are they going to compete Saturday night? Well, what's compete look like? We'll get into tomorrow a little bit of Coach Frost's conference call. He was asked what success looked like the rest of the year. We were about out of time. Don't want to burn that one, but you can think about it. You can email chris@halevarsity.com. Can tweet @Schmidt_radio. Give us a follow @DannyBurke5 on Twitter @HaleVarsity. Now, if we're doing averages here, Nebraska is going to score 20.5 a game. Wisconsin averages 32. So 32 to 20. Danny Burke is rubbing his chin hair like he's Indiana Jones trying to get out of the cave.
It will not be 32 to 20.
Shaking his head. Well, the defense is allowing 38. All right. That's a half a point higher than Disco Bob and his sweater vest. And they're allowing 165 on the ground, Nebraska's defense is. I think they're better against the run on Saturday night. I think they're better against the run on Saturday night because they devote a lot of people. I am going 9 in the box, and Wisconsin's tight ends and wideouts are good and make them be great. Is that just too stupid and simplistic from the asthmatic here?
I mean, you kind of have to assume they have to be better on the run than they are on the pass rush, so they got to be decent somewhere.
right? I mean, just load up, make them throw to beat you. And if you give up some big plays, guess what? It's been happening anyway. But offensively, the question I have from a tempo standpoint, are you going to try and pedal to the metal it so you go three and out and then your defense is on the field and then Wisconsin's holding onto the ball and there's a baton death march, 8-play, 80-yard, 7-minute drive? That's what you're up against because they hold onto the ball. Wisconsin's defense isn't that good. And the reason things have been going well, aside from BYU, is because Wisconsin's offense has held on to the football for games upon games. That's how they win. That's how they beat Iowa. So if I'm putting it together, and you're pouring me a shot and a beer here after Seabass week, I load up against the run. Captain Obvious. I go zero coverage. And I make their wideouts beat my defensive backs. Period. And if you're going to shoot your shot and you want to go tempo, whatever. But I need to see Ziggy and Adrian with minimum 15 carries each.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
You got to throw this away very quickly. You cannot let it negatively impact your thought process ever. And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. That was a tough game. They got more runs than we did today. They won the division. Bully for them. Now we just got to move it on from here and get ready for tomorrow. There's no lamenting. There's no crying. There's none of that. It's getting back in huddle. You got to get back in huddle when something bad happens. You got to get back in huddle and prepare for the next play.
But if you're a no huddle offense, there's Kyle Freeland. Let me tell you about Kyle Freeland. Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke.
Oh, I know, but
7-17, 2.85 ERA, 3 days rest. Hasn't lost since August 1st, 5-0 in September, 9-1 in the last 14 starts, but he's 0-2. And a pair of career starts against the Cubs with a 4.15 ERA.
You want to hear my side a couple things?
Please, dude.
This is not beneficial for the Cubs, but John Lester is like a 4.44 ERA with the home plate umpire tonight. I think it's like the Chris Guccione guy or whatever.
You've gone that far. That's
people
good
tweet it out.
That's good information to know.
Just saying. And okay.
Have you written a letter to get him recused from tonight's action?
No, not yet. But and John Lester also, I think it was, I was just reading, he has like the top five most postseason MLB starts.
Oh, he's money.
Yeah, and we have Cole Hamels in the bullpen.
We again.
That's right.
Did someone give that Schwarber jersey, or did you think that was an appropriate purchase? This was a good idea.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it in 2016, and it got delivered on the day he came back in the World Series Game 1. First at bat, hits it off the wall when he came back from the ACL. So, coincidence?
Okay, so... Are you a bleacher guy? Are you a right field guy? Do you sit in the, where do you, when you
I
go?
I switch it up.
Do you rooftop it?
No, I've never rooftopped it before.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to.
Bleachers are fun, but they can get uncomfortable if you got back problems.
They can get uncomfortable if there's a freaking racial fight, too.
Yeah, that too. That doesn't help. If you're going with a big group, go to the bleachers. If you just want to relax, watch a game, just go right field line, left field line. That all works out. But... going on the run line, it is 1.5, but this isn't where it's fair. So the Cubs are +151, -1.5, and the Rockies +1.5, -169. So
I got about 170 if I want the run and a half to win 100.
Right.
So what's that mean to you?
The Rockies just got a cover. They can lose by one, and you're winning pretty much.
I know,
much.
Exactly. So yeah. Let's do that. Steak and a beer.
All right, screw it, man.
No, if you're not down. If
no,
you're like,
I'm
that's
down.
Not
I'm not going to not bet on the Cubbies, man.
Okay. So that is good.
Just be prepared for some live tweeting during the game.
So here's what we got. Brett emails in, chris@hailvarsity.com. Cubs suck. Hornibrook sucks. Chris is the best.
I doubt that.
He's been throwing.
You kidding me?
Brett's been throwing Corona since 4 Hawaiian time today. We love him, though. All right. Steak and a beer. I got the Rockies and a run and a half. This will be good.
I'm excited. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. Not for our bet.
I like filet mignon.
Okay.
And you are like, give me two ribeyes, clown.
Prime rib, baby.
That's not a steak.
Yes, it is. I'm counting it.
All right. Says Danny.
If I'm giving you the better odds, you got to give me the prime rib.
Fine. We'll do prime rib. Back at you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Take care. Thanks.